The reading is taken from Isaiah, chapter 11, starting at the first verse. The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
So I want to ask you a question at the beginning, and please don't take it personally. I just want to ask, what sort of a rat are you? What sort of a rat are you? Not sure? Well, a few years ago, there was the psychology department of Duke University in America carried out an interesting experiment. They wanted to see how long rats could swim for. I'm afraid rats were armed during the making of this experiment, I'm afraid. In one container, they placed a rat for whom there was no possibility of escape. There was no possibility for this rat to escape. He swam a few moments and then ducked his head under the water and drowned. In the other container, they made the hope of escape possible for the rat. The rat swam around for several hours before finally drowning. The conclusion of the experiment was just the opposite of a common saying. Some people say, as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as there is life, there is hope. But the experiment proved that as long as there is hope, there is life. As long as there is hope, there is life. So I ask you again, what sort of a rat are you? I pray you the one who had hope that keeps us going, that keeps us living, that keeps us looking to the future. I don't know about you, but I come across lots of people. When it comes to hope, there's people who are at one extreme to the other and all sorts of people in between. And at different times of our life, we can have different approaches to hope as well, particularly if we're going through a difficult time. Someone who I know very well and have been a part of their life for a long time, as it's been really painful because they're close to me, to watch the fact that very often in their life they have little hope. Since this person got divorced quite some time ago, I've just watched them looking for hope, searching for hope. First, they thought it might be another man. Then it was a job. They had an half-decent job. And then they decided that if they got a degree, they would get a better job and things would be much better. They got a degree later in life, got a much better job, but still it didn't make them happy. Still, there was no hope. And then finally, they got into property development. much to the dismay of those who had to pick up all the pieces as they developed property in a very chaotic way. And then at one point, she decided that what she needed was the sun. The sun would give her hope and change her life. If she moved to Tenerife, then happiness would come. She's got a little bit more hope than she had now. But it still breaks my heart when I see that she's got very little hope. I pray tonight that you've got hope. That you've got hope in something. You've got hope in the future. And that even if you're finding life hard and difficult, you can still hang on to that hope. And what about our churches that are representative? A few churches are represented here in this church in Selby Street and others. Where are our churches putting our hope? The Israelites in this story, where did they put their hope? Well, unfortunately, they'd put it into idols and foreign gods. They'd put their hope into their own strength. They thought they were powerful enough to defeat the advancing armies in their own strength. They were relying on an earthly king to save them, and it failed. They'd put their hope into the wrong things, and life was hard and difficult and challenging. They'd been invaded by the Assyrians, and they'd almost been destroyed. And the picture that Isaiah paints here is one of a devastated forest of trees all felled, and all that's left is the stumps. One of the images that came to me as I was thinking about this was the First World War, after the battles of the Somme and some of the other battles. That scene of just a fields upon fields of just mud. All the buildings were destroyed, all the trees were just stumps, and nothing would grow there. It was a scene of utter devastation. I understand that even the birds stopped singing. However, Isaiah brings some hope into this, what seems like a completely hopeless situation. He sees some growth coming. He sees a sign that might offer them hope, the people of Israel, that there is a future. Bit like the poppies that we use every year to remember, particularly the First World War. The seeds of the poppies were there, and they began to grow in the midst of the mud and the devastation. Isaiah calls it a shoot or a branch, and the Hebrew word for shoot means young growth or a twig. And branch, the Hebrew words mean to grow green or a sapling. I apologize to those who were here at Selby Street this morning. Try not to say all that I said this morning. I love to go to the lakes. We go to the lakes every year. And quite a few years ago, I was walking by the river in Elterwater, and I noticed a dead tree. And there wasn't much of it left. It was all hollow and dead. And then I noticed there was a sapling growing up through the middle. And I just stood there for 5, 10, 15 minutes, just thinking, wow, what an image of God. There was death and decay, but through that was coming new life and new growth. And I need to remind myself when I go in the summer again to have a look and see how high that tree is now. It's a picture of young green shoots coming, bringing hope to Israel in the middle of the hopelessness. Isaiah offers them the picture, and they would have to wait 70 years, but the hope would come. And they would come back to Israel, and they would rebuild Israel. They would rebuild the temple. It's a picture of hope for the Israelites, but it's a picture of hope for you and me here tonight, for whatever it is that we're going through, whatever we need hope for tonight, we can find it in God. And our churches,
whatever our churches need, whatever they're hoping and longing for, whatever it is that worries us and scares us, we can find that in the shoot, the branch. And that shoot and that branch that's coming out of the stump is of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David, the greatest king that they ever knew. The Israelites longed for another king like King David. The problem was that they'd had a litany of kings after David who were just not up to it. The present king, Ahaz, had led them into destruction and exile. Eventually, a king would come to bring them out as exile. But that didn't lead to an amazing time for them. It was still a pretty miserable and desperate situation. What the people of Israel needed was an amazing king, maybe even better than the greatest king they'd ever had, than King David. But we hear that whoever that king is would come in the line of David. Isaiah describes that future king in verses, let me just find the passage. Let's see. We see what that future king will be like in those words I read at the beginning. We read that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's really important when it comes to hope. We need the Spirit upon us as well. We need to be full of the Spirit, particularly in the difficult times. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding will be on this king. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. This coming Messiah who will lead his people will have all these attributes. And as I was reading that, we know it's Jesus. We know it's Emmanuel, God with us. And you see echoes there of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. When he goes into the temple and he picks up the scroll that's been given him, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives. Jesus is the root and the branch of Jesse. Jesus is the only one who could bring hope that Isaiah talked about. Jesus is the only one who can bring us hope tonight. For us, for our churches, for this city, for this country. I wonder what our vision of our churches is. I wonder what our vision of Hull looks like, a vision of our country. I'll keep it there. I'll keep the vision quite small, because if we get to the world, there's too much, isn't there? And I think it feels like Isaiah was doing the same thing 700 years ago. Maybe he looked around at the hopelessness of the nations. He looked around at the lack of hope in the people. And he asked God to show him a picture of what it might look like, what the kingdom of God might look like, what Israel might look like in the future. And then at the end of this passage, we see that image. The wolf shall live with the lamb. Crazy. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Wow. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young shall lie down together. And a lion shall eat straw with the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. That's the vision that Isaiah got from God when he looked around at the country and saw the mess it was in and the mess the people were in. They thought they wanted an earthly king similar to David. But God, to Isaiah, said, it's much bigger than that. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom is about us being equal. It's an image of them all eating together. Where we're all on a level playing field. No more that we're different, but that we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we're part of God's kingdom. An image where there's no more aggression, where there's no more killing and violence, where the problems aren't solved with a fist or a gun, but they're solved with love and acceptance and forgiveness and peace and harmony. There's an image of where enemies are no more, where all will share and will love and support and care each other. No more every man or woman for themselves. Everyone will have enough. There will be no more fear for our babies and our toddlers. They'll be able to go anywhere and play. There'll be no fear for anyone. Parents won't have to worry. What a beautiful image of hope. And that hope is God's kingdom. And that God kingdom is for later. You see all that played out in the picture of heaven in Revelation 21, where there'll be no more mourning, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more dying, where everyone will just live together and worship God, and it'll be an amazing, wonderful place. And that's the hope that we hang on to, that future hope, when our time on this earth is over. But it's also now as well. We can have glimpses of that. We can experience that now. Now. When God is at the center, when Jesus is the king of his kingdom, when we build God's kingdom, when we build the church, when we stop fighting and arguing, and we become centered around Christ, when we share food together, when we love one another, when we care for one another, when we help each other, when we point each other to the hope, when we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I've seen glimpses of it, and it's beautiful. I see glimpses of it. And God wants to show us those glimpses, and God wants us to build that kingdom. God wants us to be people of hope that can share that hope with people who are hopeless, who have no hope. So many people have no hope, and we've got it, and we need to offer them it, even in our brokenness. That hope is here tonight. That hope is available to you. It's available for you to share it, and it's available to our loved ones who need it tonight. One of the well-known, to some of us, Advent hymns written by Charles Wesley. None other than Charles. Sorry? You know it well. He didn't this morning. And the second verse says, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, Israel's strength and our strength and our consolation, hope of all the earth thou art."